PEG. P-E-G. God said, I'm making you to be a peg. And if you'll give me this, you hold that onto that. I'll be back. Look at this box. I'm going, Lord, I don't know where to get a peg for the peg that you wanted me to think about. Look at that peg. And I was just in an antique store, and I found this box. And beside the box, I found the pegs. I found all kinds of pegs. Amen? There's also this here. It's not enough for me to just get up here and talk. I need to give you visuals. Bring this out here. Somebody got a knife? Would you come up and cut this for me? We have a really awesome man that made this for me. He wanted to know what I wanted, and he went and looked at pictures and whatever, and he just continued to keep asking, called Debbie, called me, and he finally got it, what I was looking for. Pegs. Two types of pegs. Tent pegs. Amen? Probably one of those would be fitting for the one that was drove in that, what is his name? Syria? Or what was his name? Remember when Esther and Barak went down, there was a big battle, and that woman went in, and that guy was hiding in the tent, and she drove this tent. Jael. But what was the guy? What is his name?
Sisera.
Sisera, I was right. Okay. Drove it through one temple and out the other into the ground. I mean, bad headache. Amen? This was more like what they used in the temple when they put the panels in. And they usually took two of them and they put them in, so it was a sure foundation. Tent pegs were used to enlarge your tent. What is that, in Isaiah 55 or 58? Enlarge the place of your tent.
Yes.
That's what he's asking us to do right now. Enlarge your heart. I talked about Secretariat being the 35th greatest athlete in the 20th century. Isn't that interesting? The 20th century, the greatest athlete. What was so great about him? He won the Triple Crown. And what's more even greater about him is 8 years later when they died, they did an autopsy and found out his heart was 22 pounds. The average heart was 7 pounds. They hadn't even been able to really test how far he could run and how fast. He never was tested because it was that third race that he finally decided, I'm going to win this race. And he was, 26 lengths ahead? And they thought, oh, surely he's going to blow his heart out. During those three races that he was in, he got pneumonia. He had a problem with his leg. I'll tell you what, that's our life, the run in our life. The enemy is always trying to come in, and if we keep our eyes on him, we're going to be the Triple Crown, amen? He wants to give you that big heart, amen? It even says it in, what is it, Psalms 119. I went through that today and explained, I think, 119, 23 or 32. And it says that we can ask God to enlarge our heart. He wants us to have an enlarged heart so we can love a lot. Yes, we can love a lot. Amen? You know, when I was younger, my friends go, Nancy, you just have so many friends. How can you have so many friends? How can you love so much? How can you love so much? Well, if Christ is the center of your life, it's no problem. Amen? 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 We got to get over this. I don't know if they like me. You just walked in the door. I don't know if they're going to like me. I don't like their boots. I don't like their beard. Look, I think they have tattoos. Oh, I think they're gay. Oh, they must do drugs. Oh, look at that spiky hair that woman has. Oh, we are so naughty. What happened to love? I want you to think about that. Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen? Nobody's going to get saved unless they're approached by love. Amen? I'll tell you, the devil, he runs away. He runs away anyone that doesn't want to look to Jesus. He will get right at them. He will hurt them. He will whisper lies in their ears. I mean, I've had people sit here in front of me that were trembling and scared and angry and frustrated, and they kept coming up until it finally broke, and they've been set free. There's some in here, if they were brave and said that that's true, they'd say, that was me, that was me. That was me. You found love, didn't you? You found God's love in this place, didn't you? You're accepted among the beloved. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So here is this word, peg. Peg. How does it fit for us? Well, in this hour, and I'm just going to do it quickly, briefly give you just a little summation. God said this peg has to do with Isaiah chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. And what it has to do with is a great man, and you should be a great woman or man, when there's sin, and there was sin, he went back to help rebuild Jerusalem. He'd been where? Where had he been in captivity?
Babylon.
In Babylon, correct. And when he came, he'd been there about 3 months or whatever, and nothing was happening. He couldn't get the people together. I mean, nobody knew where the tail was or the head. Okay? And finally, somebody came to him and said, you know what the problem is? Your leaders are out there, and they have married, intermarried to the unbelievers out there, the heathens, and they're worshiping their gods. Ezra ripped his beard and pulled his hair and tore his clothes, and he called a fast all day. And then that night, he got up and called everybody together, and he stood before God and the people, and he said, forgive me, Lord, for what we have done. And he wasn't even there to do it. We got to get off of this stuff of finger pointing. If we got problems in our country, it is a we thing here. If my people call by my name, we got to get together. We got to get focused. We got to grab the pegs. Amen? Amen? So what happens? He calls the people, he repents, and he sees a glimpse of grace. And what does he say? A peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival. Listen, write that down. That's for you right now, tonight. Amen? He says, I want you to be a peg and a sure place. And what is that sure place? Hey, pound yourself right into the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And guess what? You won't hang off of anybody else. They're going to hang off of you. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. This is what they had in the temple. And this is where they would hang the utensils for the sacrifices when they were done, all the acts that they would do inside the holy of inside the temple in the Holy of Holies, when they present the sacrifices, when they were done, they'd hang them on the pegs. And God says, I want you to be a sure peg in the house of God. In the house of God. Why? Enlighten your eyes and give you a measure of revival. Tonight's revival. That's why I couldn't let them go on with the worship yet, because they're going to come back and celebrate with the worship. Because some of you are going to get set free. Some of you tonight are going to believe you are stepping into an enlightenment. I see, I see, I see. It's time for revival. We got to quit being negative and doom speakers and say, you know what? The Bible says there's wars and rumors of wars, and we need to quit listening to that nonsense. We've got the John the Baptist out there hollering, but some of them, I guess, they're not John the Baptist. They're doomsday reporters. Anything for attention. Amen? And what we're supposed to be is speaking life and hope, looking in the enlightenment of our eyes of what God is really doing. Because I'll tell you, you are going through the valley of Baca, and that's a place of tears, and you're going to go through struggles. God says, you get your eyes on me, I will pour out, I will rain on you, I will be able to glorify through you, and guess what? You'll make it to your destination. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Praise God. Are you a peg?
I'm a peg.
You're a peg? Praise God. A peg for what?
For God.
A sure place. A sure foundation. Unshakable, unmovable, like it says in Hebrews chapter 12, 27 to 28 or whatever. He says, I'm going to bring a shaking. Guess what? He wants to bring a shaking tonight. He says that I'm going to shake that which could be shaken, and that which will stand firm will stand firm. It's my sure peg that will stand firm. And God said, don't be afraid of it. I'm going to shake some people up, and they're going to run from me, but you're going to stand firm. And when they crawl back, they're going to say, what's all this about God? Tell me what this is. What is your confidence? What is going on with you? Wow. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Some of you may be unequally yoked in relationships. And yet, that person that you're unequally yoked in, if you look at their circle of friends, on the most part, they're all Christians. They like to hang out with them. Have you ever noticed that? They know where the real source is. Amen? They do. They're not far from the kingdom. Don't nag on them. Don't nag on them. I'm telling you, just love them and love them and love them. I mean, you gals, you got your guys, and you've been married to them a long time, and their muscles are hanging down here like some of our stuff is hanging. I'll tell you what, you just go squeeze and say, I still love those muscles. My husband, when I do that to him, he laughs. He loves it. I remember when we got married, we'd been married about 6 months. He was standing in front of the mirror. He's lean. He's never really had any buff muscles. And he goes, is this okay? I went, I love it. I don't like muscle men. That's gross. That made him happy. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. That's the truth. Amen? But now, you know, he went through cancer and he lost a lot of weight and they do really sag right here. And I went, I just love to feel that. Amen? Yes. Yes. I'm one to take lemons and turn them into lemonade. Amen? That's what we got to do. I mean, like this morning when I woke up and looked outside, and the snow's on the ground, right? And I looked out there, and I'm thinking, He said, you know what he said? He said, just saying. Just saying. I said, what are you saying? He's saying, Alaska misses you. I said, I get it. Amen?
Amen?
I knew the snow would be gone later. Yeah. Amen? So, there's the peg. You have to decide if you want to be a sure peg in a firm foundation, and that firm foundation is in the cornerstone of everything in your life, and that should be Jesus Christ. The cornerstone of Jesus Christ should be in your workplace, in your home, in your activities, in your church. You have to be in the center of Christ. Amen? If you're plugged in, I guarantee you, people are going to hang off of you. Amen?
Amen.
Have you noticed how people run here for a speaker and run there for a speaker, man? They're just hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. Well, why don't you be a speaker? You're all leaders. You wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't. You be a speaker. You be in a sure place. You speak the love. You speak the life. Amen? And don't get caught up in all that judgment and all that garbage out there. I guarantee you it'll weigh you down and you'll be disappointed. And by the way, why don't you tell God you want him to be president of the United States?
Amen?
Amen? Why don't you do that? Why don't you say, God, I want you to be president of the United States. I'm not looking at any other man or woman right now. I'm looking at you. You pick who you are in. You be president. We have got it all backwards.
Yes.
Amen? Think about that. Start praying. God, I want you to be present. God, I want you to be present. And let's go from that 20% and I'm telling you, I am going to be really tough on you with this. 20% of the Christians across America were the only ones that voted in our election for the last president.
Amen?
Now, I'm not talking politics here. What I'm talking about is you have a God-given right and privilege to vote. Christians, in this house, we're all Christians. Will you agree with that? Okay. I'm going to come back and check you after next election. I'm going to say, did you vote? Did you vote? I want to see your voting card. I want to see your I did vote. Amen. I don't want to know who you voted for. That's not my business. But I am telling you, the one politic I do have is, why don't you ask God to be our president? Let's get him back in the seat of our government. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you agree with me, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, you want to see something? Do you think that Augusta and the surrounding towns of Augusta can make a difference in the direction our country is going?
Yes.
And I'm not talking politics here. I'm talking about the weather.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
You can speak to the weather.
That's right.
Amen? Did you know you can speak to the weather? I've done that. God has done amazing things. I went down and this great Santa Ana winds were blowing. It was the day of my sister's wedding and my husband was doing the wedding. And we flew down there and the Santa Ana winds started blowing and it was going to be in a backyard wedding and all the decorations, everything was flying. My sister came to me. This is kind of like the wine in the water. She comes to me and she's crying. She says, it's ruined. Look at everything's going everywhere. And Debbie's daughter, who I took with me, and I used to take her to everything, you know, and just train her. She's a teacher today, and I believe I was a big part of her becoming a teacher. But, I mean, she comes up to me, and she says, Nancy, do what you taught me to do. And I looked at her, and I said, what's that? She said, well, go tell the wind to go back. I said, yeah, let's do it. We went instead in the backyard. I lifted my hands, and I said, God, send the wind back. Hold the wind and send it back. And it quit immediately. If you know anything about the Santa Ana winds, they don't do that. When they start blowing, they blow for weeks. And when they blow, they have flu and disease and everything else, and people get sick. It's really a bad deal. If you get online, you'll hear about it. But it stopped. Big wedding, backyard. As the wedding's over and they're celebrating and she's married into a Catholic family and they believe in drinking and there was a lot of alcohol flowing, she came to me because there was stuff going on. She says, Nancy, you got to do something. She said, they're talking not nice and, you know, their tongues are loose from the alcohol and she said, it's going to be ruined. Come on, Kimberly. We went out there and I said, Lord, bring the wind. And guess what? The wind came. And I'm going to say it how it is. The drunk said, we gotta go home. And they went home. Amen? I'm just saying. It's the truth, isn't it? Didn't you hear about it? I mean, her daughter would tell you, oh my gosh. The wind stopped and the wind blew. Amen? Do you know that's in you? You have no idea how much power is in you. You know, God took me to the Niagara Falls to tell me this. Nancy, what do you see? He was quite calm at first. He said, what do you see? And I said, first of all, there are rainbows everywhere. And I said, I see rainbows. Oh, I love the rainbows. And twin and triplets, you know. It was like horses running all over the place. It was so beautiful. It just took my breath away. He goes, no, Nancy, what do you see? And I said, I see a beautiful waterfall. No, Nancy, what do you see? Well, I looked down and there was all these little boats that looked like a bathtub with little rowboats down there and below, and everybody's wearing slickers and stuff because they're down below where the waterfall's coming down. And he goes, Nancy, and he just screamed it. He said, what do you see? And I mean, I'm shaking like this in front of the Niagara Falls. And I said, I see power. Wow. He said, that's right. That was it. That was what he wanted me to see. I said, I can't see. I mean, I made a flick this comment. I said, I see the water coming, and it's like you. I don't know where you're coming from, and I don't know where you're going. I remember saying that. I thought I'd be real spiritual. That, where do you see? But he said it so loud, I started shaking, and I went, I see power. Wow. He said, that's right. The reason I had you come here is I want you to know that you these falls generate a lot of electricity on the eastern seaboard and also in Canada. He said that's a lot of power, but he says, Nancy, you have more power in you than what's coming from that waterfall. Amen? I'm not lying. That's what he said. It blew me away. I didn't know all that either. And I didn't want to go there. And then God said, you do want to go there. Amen? He told Henry, take your wife to Niagara Falls. I said, no, Henry, I got all these women. You're going to be all lovey, and it's not going to be nice. He said, okay, whatever you want. I said, if you want to take me to Niagara Falls, let's go another time. We can go on a honeymoon. But God, when he has something he wants you to hear, he works it out. Amen? Yes, a peg in a sure place. Amen? I want you to think about it. Are you a peg in a sure place? Are you? Do you think you're close? Do you think you're on the target? I mean, when you first start out, it's okay. You can get all over the target. But God said, I want you to be a bullseye. Where? Right there in the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, where everything is built up and out. Amen? That's who you are. That's what you have become as sons and daughters of the Father. Amen? Do you know that? That's what he wants you to be establishing, is that understanding. And I may be saying in a simple way, the way that I understand it, but I'm telling you, it's huge. It's huge. We make it so hard. We get theology in there, and we just get all mixed up, and we go, I don't agree with that theology. This is my theology, or I'll tell you what. Love is love. Right. Amen. Amen? God's love is definitely, that's it. Amen? So, the next word he gave me is he said, now, Nancy, remember I showed you the sandals when he was telling me where we were going? For those of you who are here, I had a pair of sandals. I don't know if I have, right there. There was something like that. I have a pair of sandals that I showed. And he said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And he actually used Joshua 5:15 to talk to me about what he was doing. And I had kicked my shoes off. I was in a room and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, is there going to be a burning bush? I'm in a house. And all of a sudden, these sandals appeared in front of me in the spirit. He said, put these on. I said, Lord, what is this about? And he said, I just had you kick your plans off, and you're going to put mine on now. Think about that. We are always trying to figure out how we're going to do something. Why don't we back up and say, Lord, tell me what your thoughts are. Don't you want God's thoughts? Amen? Because this year is about his favor. It is about his favor. God, have your favor in this room. Have your favor in my testimonies and words. Have your favor in their ears that they will receive, and it'll just stir their hearts up, and they will walk with favor, and they will understand with favor. And Lord, those that are already having favor operating in their life and it's just blowing them away, Father God, let it grow and grow and grow, because this is an outstanding year for the kingdom of God, because it's about his redemptive love. And he's not a liar. He's never lied to me. Amen? And if any of you, the ones that know me real close, every time God gives me a word, it's exactly that. And the other prophets across the land, about 6 months into it, they start professing it too. Amen? It's the truth. It's the truth. Okay. The next one has to do with, he started out first saying, now you're going to hear. This is the 50th year of Jubilee. It is. It is. I'm telling you, the debts that have been against you, if you believe that, embrace that, guess what? Those debts are going to start disappearing. And it's going to be with favor. You've got to believe it. You're so willing to listen to the news and listen to the negative. I want you to be so willing to listen about God's favor and grab it and believe in it. Amen? Yes. Let's focus on the positive. Why can't we do that? What keeps us from believing that God wants to bless his children, his sons and his daughters? Amen? I'm not trying to, you know, sprinkle fairy dust over your head and it's all going to change. God's got a plan, and if you let him in that plan, he's going to move it so quickly it's going to make your head spin. Yes. Amen? Yes. Day before yesterday, Debbie didn't think we were going to have enough food for this conference. Guess what? We're going to have a lot of food left over. Because God said, I know about the breaking of the bread and the fish and it multiplying. Yes. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. Amen? That's what I want to tell everybody around me. Just believe this. Let's just watch and see how God's hand will move. And his hand does move. I can't go to 60-something countries, almost 70 countries. You know, my husband is on a college-level income. That's not, I mean, the average worker out there, I'm telling you, college professors are not making as much as you are. And I'm traveling all over the world. And I never have a need. All that medical, all those strokes since 2003, guess what? Most of it was paid for. I'm telling you, my God takes care of me. My husband will tell the church, he'll go, she has a faith that he said, I am a faithful man, but she has a faith that I can't even touch. I believe I do have the gift of faith. Amen? It's almost an office. You get me on it, faith moves. Amen? That should be all of you. Nothing's impossible with God. I've been trying to tell people, get yourself positioned. God says, do everything possible in your natural to get positioned. You want to do something? You want to go somewhere? Get yourself positioned. You get yourself positioned, you're ready to go. Then God says, okay, now I can do the impossible. Yes, let's let him do it. Yes, yes. But we have to do our part. He's dropping the possible over here and you're over here. And then he says, okay, just stand still and let me drop the impossible on you here. And you move. Sally Sue got it. You're going, God, I asked for her. Why did she get it? You moved. You moved. Amen? Stay fast. Stay fast. Stay fast. Be a peg in a sure place. And I guarantee you, this 50th year of Jubilee, your debts are going to be forgiven. Amen? And not only are your debts going to be forgiven, but you're going to forgive the debtors. Amen. Go down your list. Who has debts against you? Who is it that has never paid you back and you're resentful for it? This is the year to forgive it all. And let them know you've forgiven it. And you'll probably end up with some of it on your doorstep. Amen? Amen? You know, that convenient, I forgot. All of a sudden, I remember. Mm-hmm. Amen? We all do it. Amen? Yeah. But the word isn't about 50th year Jubilee, but it's there. That's God's standard right now for this year. I went and got my picture taken. How many of you remember my testimony about the doctors saying I'm a zebra? And I was so mad and so frustrated. And I was in the dollar store here 2 weeks ago, and Lisa was running around, and she says, you only have X amount of dollars to spend. So we're running around, man. I feel like a kid it's like, you got 20 minutes to take whatever you want in the store, but I had X amount of dollars, and I'm running around, and I'm getting it down. I got my pad. I got whatever I needed, right? And then I walked past this was $10. And I walked past it. Isn't it beautiful? And I went, oh, I love it. I love it. Man, I've changed my mind about zebras. And then that guy pretty, you know, I told you about the story about all the doctors calling me a zebra and the specialists or whatever. But this is what I did find out. In fact, Sarah was the one that got a hold of me, and she wrote it down because she knew. And I'm telling her, she's a zebra too. But anyway, a zebra is known to be very sociable, and they hang out. They're very herdy, and close together. And zebras, they've got so many lines on them that when they're together, the predators are afraid of them because they look like a large mass because they don't know where they begin and end. And their stripes are unique. None of them are the same, just like us. And they're very, very protective of their babies and whatever. I mean, I think I like being a zebra. Because I think that's what Point to Hope is like. I do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. So, what is the next thing I want to tell you? This is what I'm very, very excited about. And you have to choose to believe it. It's going to be all about your attitude. But the Lord said, Nancy, tell them that September 13, when the sun went down, which that date is the starting of the Jewish calendar 2016, and it was in September 13th, as the sun was going down, he said, this is the beginning of 7 years of plenty. 7 years of plenty. Now that took me into a spin. 7 years of plenty, Lord. Let's not even go to the next 7 years yet, okay? Let me just back up to this 7 years. What are you talking about? Please, man, I'm kind of a small thinker here. You need to help walk me through this. And he said, Nancy, 7 years I'm giving my children the opportunity to fill the storehouses up. Remind them that the only thing they're bringing to heaven with them is souls. Amen? Now, I want my team to get those keys up, out, get them out, and get them to everyone. Amen? You're going to be given a key. And I want you to, when you get that key put in your hand, I want you to start thinking about what if either you are the anointed one in Isaiah 61 to set the captives free, or what if you're the one that's the captive? But let's just say you're the captive right now, and you're going to be given a key. And when you and I want you to think about this. You're not going to be able to answer it right away because I really want you to pray about it. But let's say this key, over the next 7 years, if you had this key to do anything you wanted to do, what would it be? If you knew that this key, with the favor that's on this key of the 7 years of plenty, you would have your health, you would have your finances, you'd have your family support, you'd have the doors that would open because you have this key. Can you believe that? I hope you do, because he's about to give you a key. And if you believe, God said you're going to start positioning yourself. I've already had people that I've given this message to call me, and they've started home Bible studies. One lady went out, I think lives in Wren or somewhere like that. She called me up and she said, I took that key seriously. I prayed and prayed and prayed. Then I went to the sheriff's department, and I says, do you have anybody working in the prison ministry here? He says, we never have had anybody do prison ministry. She says, well, can I start one? And he says, you got it. That's favor. That's favor, you guys. Amen? You got your key? Some of you can put it on your chain around your neck, or you guys put it on your keychain. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because I'll tell you what, if you believe, what keeps us from getting one step ahead? Unbelief. Amen? God says the opposite of unbelief is what? Believe. It's that simple. But with belief is faith. You got to put faith in action. Yes. Have faith in action. And that means shifting. That means getting in a place where you are positioning. Like for some of you, you want to minister to people. Where can I do that? Where can I get my platform? Go to the hospital. Do it in the workplace. You have to be careful. It starts with just loving them first, and then they go, what makes you tick? You got a gimmick? You act like you really love me. What's the deal? What is your source? What are you on? I'm telling you, those are the things that are said. You know what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you what he's talking about. He said, you get yourself positioned. You ask for my favor. They're going to fall in love with you. They will fall in love with you. And they will see the heart in you, because while you're asking for favor, you're trusting me and your heart is changing. And they see that love. They look in your eyes, and just your eyes are the window to your soul. And they, next thing you know, they're telling all of their life story, and you're counseling them, and you're loving them. And the next thing you know, you got another new best friend. Amen? Amen. Everybody got your key? Yes. Some of them might be adding it to their collection. But God is all about keys. But you got to know how to use your key. Your key comes out with understanding when you study the Word. I'm not going to tell you to read the Word. It's not a newspaper. He wants you to study the Word. Amen? And guess what? Every time you study it, he gives you another picture, another view, another understanding. Amen? I found it so fun to read the Word, and I love it when he zips me all over the place, and you see, he painted another picture. I see another house in his Word. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? I go, oh my gosh, I want to be in this house for a little while. Mm-hmm. Amen? Some people are so concrete that this is what it says. And I'll go, yes, that's what it says. But look at these four scriptures that it references to. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like the Hebrew language. There are so many meanings for the word Alpha. So many meanings that bring you back to the beginning, the establishing, and the alphabet. The bet is the hook, and it's a representative of the word and. It's a connecting word. So when it says the Hebrew alphabet, Alpha is who? God. And here is this word bet in the Hebrew. It's the and. And the and is constantly going through the alphabet and going through the Bible, connecting, so you can say, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome?
Yes, amen.
And it starts with the word, or the two words, the Hebrew alphabet. The beginning that connects all the way through. I mean, I tell you, that's a revelation for me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. So back to this 7 years of plenty. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of God turning your health around. 7 years of plenty, turning your finances around. 7 years of plenty, turning your relationships around. Amen? 7 years of plenty of walking into your destiny. 7 years of plenty, you're going to lack nothing, but you got to believe. Amen? I mean, this is my job, to stir you up that you will believe. Amen? I'm raising an army, God said. I'm raising an army. Will you join up? Not me. God's raising an army, and he sends leaders to me. Every one of you is a leader. In some fashion, you're a leader. You're moving toward being a leader. God is trusting you. I can go anywhere and minister. This is where he sent me. This is where he said you can go. And he says, you go have a conference, and I will send you the leaders. Some of you had struggles getting here. I'll tell you what, the enemy didn't want you here because he didn't want you to hear, you're a leader. Amen? Isn't that the truth? You are a leader. You may be a leader of a small group. You may be a leader of a big group. You may be a leader of one, but you're still a leader. Amen? Okay. So I sing, Lord, 7 years of plenty. Kind of makes me a little nervous. Because everybody's asking me, okay, 7 years, we run around doing the plentiful. What about after the 7 years? At first, when I first asked him back in September, he said, it's for me to know and you to find out. What that means is, I'm not going to tell you now. He teases me. I said, okay, I'm happy with that. You know, some of the doom and glooms that go, we have 7 years left on this earth and it's going to blow up. No, it's not. It's not. But I tell you what, it is going to happen. If my people get lined up according to the word, it's your choice what you're going to do, how you're going to be a part, anywhere you're at. I'll tell you what, you've got email, you've got your churches, you've got prayer, you've got grocery stores you can walk in, laundromats, amen, hospitals, anywhere you can go. If my people start praying and praying and you be a atmosphere changer, God says in this year of plenty, you will be an atmosphere changer, you will be contagious, amen. You will be somebody that people will be drawn to like bees to honey. Amen? Because he said 7 years of plenty. And if you make the choice to believe that and walk that out, by the end of the 7 years, what do you think is going to happen? If you don't do anything, what do you think is going to happen? Okay. So I'm like, God, you got to go a little deeper on this with me. He said, Joseph, Nancy. Joseph, I think about all he went through. He was born. It was a celebration. It was a celebration. You know, I was born. My dad was celebrating. I was a girl, but my mom had already sold me, so it was a battle. And it was a battle from then on. Joseph's father loved him. He loved him. And his brothers hated him. There was a problem there. I feel bad for the brothers. I really do. Look what happened. I'll tell you, favorites, when you show favoritism, it hurts people. You don't mean to, but it does. My kids, when they were younger, they go, oh, you love little Henry better. And Christy go, you love Lisa better. And Lisa would say, you love Christy better. And I go, do you want to know something? You're all my favorites. I said, you're my favorite because of this character in you. You're my favorite because of this character in you. And that's the same with my sisters all up here. The character in her, I just love it. She's my favorite. I love the character in her. She's my favorite. I love the character in her. They're all different and unique, you know? Just like this. I am a zebra. I have stripes, but nobody has stripes like me. Amen? Amen? Yes. Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen.
But there they had a problem. And the brothers wanted to kill him. They got out there and they saw the gypsies going through. And they sold him to the gypsies. And then the gypsies took him to Egypt and sold him into slavery. And then Potiphar thought, oh man, this guy's got brains. He's taught. He can read. And then his wife, you know, she wanted more than him just reading stuff. And so then he gets in trouble and she says, oh, it was his fault. He goes into jail. I mean, he's lucky he didn't get killed, but that was a favor of God, believe it or not. That was a favor of God. I mean, you always find, you know, what is it, a rose in the thistles? That was his rose, that they didn't kill him. Goes into prison, and you know what? He was probably beaten. You know, they don't talk about it. He was probably thrashed. He was probably beaten. He suffered a lot. He didn't give up, though. And here come these, the cupbearer and the bread maker and the baker, and they get thrown in there, and they're going, we don't know what happened to the king. He just got mad at us, man. He says, we're going to die, and could you know, we're having these dreams. Can anybody interpret? And Joseph says, I can. I believe I can. And he does. And the cupbearer, he says, hallelujah, they're going to come get you. You're going to be the cupbearer again. The bread man goes, come on, tell me my dream. He says, yeah, the birds are going to take you and split you up and take you away. It's very sad. The cupbearer, they come and get him, and they do. They put him in place, and he promises Joseph, I will tell the king about you. But he forgot. He forgot. How can you forget something like that? He probably didn't have the courage. You know what I'm saying? And do you want to know something? Cowards are in the New Testament, in the book of Revelations, lined up right next to the other ones, the murderers, the thieves, the liars, the homosexuals. It's all listed right there. You know? Coward. Then one day, the king has a dream, and nobody can interpret it. And the cupbearer goes, I think I know somebody that's excellent in interpreting dreams, but he's in your prison. He said, well, bring him to me. Bring him to me. And he interpreted the dream, and it was about the 7 years. I mean, he said, I know how you can do this. And Joseph had that vision clear back when he was a young man. That was part of why his brothers got angry at him, because it was said that they were going to bow down to him, and they were mad, right? And I'm just telling a real short story of this, because it's really an incredible story. But anyway, so he tells the king, this is what's going on. And the king says, well, you know what? I'm going to make you second in command. You go ahead and do what it is these 7 years so we can get through the next 7 years. I'm telling you what you can do to get through these 7 years so we do have another 7 years.
Yes, amen.
Amen? And I don't even want to go there, what we might be losing if we don't do it. Amen? He doesn't want me to go there. But I'm going to tell you what happened that blessed me. Is the Lord said that when his brothers came in and they admitted who they were, he forgave them. And he says, how do we know that I wasn't born for such a time as this? You are all born for such a time as this. We all know we are in a season, in a time in history that is very pivotal. Amen?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And as far as Christians in this country, we've gotten so quiet and we've laid down a lot of our rights. We've just walked away from it. We weren't a voice when those things were changing across America. 1962 was pretty much the starting of the downhill when they closed prayer. And was it prayer in, what else did they close down? Bible studies in the school. 1962. I'll tell you what, right now, some of the people that are leaders in our country in 1962, they're in their 50s. They're a product of not getting God in school anymore. I mean, that's the way it is. But I'll tell you what, we can change it. We can pray about it. We can do our part. Amen. We can start teaching our grandchildren, our children. We can start teaching them. It's more than just looking like a Christian. It's the power within. Amen. It's the power within that matters, that you trust, that you hold on to, that you believe, right? Okay. So let's go back to Esther. Esther, another similar. You know, she's adopted basically by her uncle Mordecai, and she's chosen amongst many. But guess what? Here come the favor. She had tremendous favor, and the eunuch made sure she got the best. He made sure she learned how to act, how to talk. I mean, he made sure she was his favorite. Guess who put that favor on him to have for her? God. Because she was born for such a time as this. Why don't we get ourselves a position so he can do that? Amen? He wants to bless you. He wants to put his favor on you. Believe me, you walk into a house and it's a house meeting and you know that most of them are not Christians, ask God to arm you with his favor.
Yes.
Amen? And you will be the belle of the ball. You will be. God will do it. He will blind their eyes to anything ugly. Afterwards, they'll go, I don't know what it is, why I like that guy so much, or I like that woman so much. What was it that I liked? They made me laugh all night. They made me feel important and valuable. What was it?
Amen?
Amen? There he is. So when Mordecai sent a servant to go tell her, you know, Haman's got this plan. He has got the king to sign this thing where the Jews are all going to be annihilated. They're going to be killed. And she sends a note back going, what do I have to do with this? He says, well, I think you better look in the mirror. You're a Jew. And so she called a fast. And then when she went back and talked to him, you know what he said? How do you know that you weren't born for such a time as this? We are in evil times. I will agree with you. What does it say there in Ephesians 5:15? That we need to walk circumspectly everywhere we go. Be careful where you put your feet. Be careful not to make assumption of what you see here. Be willing to work around him and see what's behind him. Amen? Be wise. Be wise. Amen? Because he says these are evil times right now. And that's 2,000 years ago. It's got real bad. Amen? But we can make a difference because of the favor that's on us, because of 7 years of plenty, and we're in the 50th Jubilee. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's go to Mary, mother of Jesus. It's the Canaan wedding. They've ran out of wine. Heaven forbid the custom. We got two or three more days of wedding and we're out of wine. She goes to her son and she tells him what's going on. And he says, woman, what do I have to do with this? And she walks past him and says, servants, do whatever he says. Do whatever he says. At the end, when he's on the cross, he looks down. And he says, he looks down first and he sees John. It's written. He sees John, the one he loves. And I know why he loved him. And he looks at his mother and he says, woman, behold your son. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go back to Mary and the wine. Because I want to tell you something. Woman, in that day, when you were called a woman, it meant woman of great faith. Not what it means today. Your husband says, woman, give me a cookie. Yeah, you're going to get a cookie, all right. Seriously. When he said, woman, he said it was basically then it meant woman. If you got called a woman like that, like he did, it meant woman of great faith. What do I have to do with this? And she walked past him and told the servants to do whatever he said. This happened in Joseph's day. I'm going to go back to it here in a minute. Don't let me forget to go back. This same scenario happened. Those words happened during Joseph's time. Anyway, she activated her son. Woman of great faith knew what to do that he was going to activate, but that make that wine, because she told the servants, do whatever he says. Amen? And then at the cross, I mean, this will make you cry, made me cry. When he said, woman, bleeding, he's bled out, most of his blood is gone. He's in his last few minutes. He looks down at John, whom he loves, it says that, and he turns to his mother and says, woman, woman of great faith, behold your son. We get taught from the pulpit, John, take care of my mother. That wasn't what it was. Jesus had all kinds of brothers and sisters around there, and they had come to understand who he was. John was the one that was lacking. He said, behold your son. Mom, will you take care of my best friend? Woman of great faith, take care of him. Because, you know, he was still coming along. He was still coming along. Amen? Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Woman of great faith, what are you going to do in these next 7 years? Amen? I guess, men, what are you going to do? Amen? So let me go back to Joseph. Because he's connected to Jesus in a sense too. Similar call. A similar call that Point to Hope has. He says, 7 years they collected the grain. Then they went into the 7 years of famine. And the grain was still stored up. And the people were just starving in Egypt, starving. And they went to the king and they said, we're starving, we're starving. And he says, just go to Joseph and do what he says. That's what he said. Go and do what he says. He said, wait. Wait. And we think this is all about restoring him to back to Israel. If you remember, they came and ended up for 400 years in Egypt. So I want you to rethink this, okay? So he waited. He waited until he heard word. He didn't do anything when they said, hey, the king told us to do what you say. He said, wait. But you know what happened? He waited until he heard that all the way to the ends of the earth, the whole earth was starving. And then he opened up the grain. the whole world. That act, that dream, that whole purpose, all that suffering from here to here was because God was going to provide for the whole world. Why? Because he wanted to be glorified.
Amen.
Amen. And in the midst of it, the children of Israel found out that there was grain they could go buy up in Egypt. But that, I'll tell you, they were coming from all over the world. Do you want to know something? Jesus didn't go to the cross just for the Jews in Jerusalem. He went to the cross for the women of this world, for the people of this world, every nation. He said, go to the nations. He set the captives free. That's what God is saying today, right now. 7 years of plenty. Go set the captives free. You've got the key. Amen? And then you do your part. I'm going to do my part. Amen? And if you need help on your part, you let me know. Or you let your brother on the right or your sister on the left. How can we do our part? Amen? And let's quit playing church and quit looking like and smelling like church and talking like church, but no power within. Yeah. Because the 7 years of plenty are going to be about the power within. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to worship. We're going to worship the King. Da, 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 da. Okay, I'll do my own worship.
So keep it up. Quench my desire.
Listen, you know the thing about giraffes? You know what it means? High places. High places, amen? Hallelujah. His love.